I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, an unprecedented number of citizens have gotten engaged in the income tax debate in Washington state. Plus, the Seattle Times and its annoyingly sporadic sanity, and an exclusive on a brutal beating at a middle school over a girl's alleged support for Donald Trump and ICE. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided on this Monday. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. A tiny bit of housekeeping off the top. Our show time might be in flux a little bit tomorrow. I'm going to be in Olympia for the income tax hearing very early in the morning, and so we'll try to get back here by the time our regular noon show starts, but we'll keep you up to date in case we have to slide that backwards a little bit, depending on all sorts of factors, including how long the hearing goes and traffic, of course. All right, speaking of income tax, this is phenomenal. So we always talk about what is it going to take for sane people to step forward and save these states that are spiraling out of control. And this doesn't just go for Washington state. This goes for really the entire West Coast and some other states that have allowed radical ideology to completely take over in a way that has harmed quality of life, that has impacted the working class. And we see virtually the same sort of destruction happening. It's like a carbon copy across the West Coast. California, Oregon, and Washington might as well just be one state because they just copy each other and they're in a dramatic race to the bottom. And a lot of that has to do with tax policy and really spending policy. And it's just out of control. I've never seen anything like this, though. I've never seen anything like the level of civic engagement that we are seeing in Washington state right now around the proposed income tax. As of this morning, more than 100,000 people have signed in opposition to, and we can't even keep the graphic up to date because every time we pull the graphic, more people sign in. It's more than 100,000 so far that have signed in opposition to Senate Bill 6346, which is the quote unquote income tax on millionaires. But people aren't dumb. They know it's going to be an income tax on millionaires for like 3 years. And then they're going to say, oh, we might as well just make it an income tax on everyone. And when I say, you know, civic engagement, it's one thing. And I think it's helpful for you to voice your opposition on social media or whatever it is. But this is more than 100,000 people that have taken the time to go to the legislature's website to find the bill, to register their opposition ahead of a key hearing on it in the House tomorrow. That's extraordinary. And in fact, I mean, it shatters the previous record. And the previous record was like 60 something thousand. And that was when this same bill was heard in the Ways and Means Committee over in the Senate. So when it was heard in the Senate, they shattered records for public input. And now, by the time this hearing happens tomorrow, they'll have doubled the previous record. I bet there'll be around 120,000 people who have signed in opposition to this income tax proposal. And that's more than 90% of all people. So as good as the left is on engaging, and a lot of the people who want this are government employees or are unions who are going to benefit greatly from bloated government and Democrats who just, you know, give them all the kickbacks. But as good as they are at organizing and showing up to protests and all of these things, they are dramatically outnumbered on this issue. Now, time will tell whether that will be the case at the ballot, because I have very little doubt that Democrats are going to push the income tax through. They've committed to it. The governor's in support of it. Democrats in the House and Senate are in support of it. I know there are a few defectors, and maybe upon seeing these numbers, some of them will start to think twice who might be on the fence about what this could mean for them, politically speaking or otherwise. But this will then, after it's passed, it'll go to a legal challenge and it'll end up on the ballot probably in November for you to decide on. And how is this going to be framed? It's going to be framed as tax the rich. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. And they'll completely ignore the reality that they just want an income tax on everyone. So a lot of this is going to come down to public messaging. The unions will spend millions of dollars trying to message this as make the rich pay their fair share. Will the common sense people be able to look past that? And will they spend enough money to get the true narrative of this on the airwaves? I think time will tell. But this level of civic engagement is so cool to see. I love it as a politics nerd that we have that many people who are willing to engage in the process. And so hopefully we can only grow on that from here. Now, here's something that annoyed the hell out of me over the weekend, among many other things that we're going to discuss on the show today. The Seattle Times editorial board published an op-ed opposing the income tax. Yay. Okay. I think that's good. There are a lot of people in Seattle, a very blue area, that listen to the Seattle Times editorial board. It says, on income tax, legislative Democratic leaders fail to meet the moment. They go on to write, income tax proponents in Olympia are still operating myopically, merely planning to cover a perpetual budget gap while failing to contain years of runaway spending by the majority party. Households live within their means. Why can't lawmakers? No matter how many times the governor and the Democrats spin this as a millionaire's tax, the bill language is clear. This is a tax on Washingtonians with a standard deduction of $1 million. That deduction could be reduced by future legislatures, and the ruling party has shown nothing but a continuously widening appetite for more taxes and any effort to enact guarantees that and has have resisted any effort to enact guarantees that it will not expand. And that's true. Every time they were given multiple opportunities to say on the record or even to enshrine in the law that this will only apply to millionaires and they will not drop it to apply to the rest of us, and they just refuse to do it. There's a reason for that. It's because that's what they're going to do. So even the lefties at the Seattle Times editorial board seem to understand that. They're putting it out there that they understand that. But here's the thing. They're the ones who put us in this position. Unfortunately, they have been, you know, an entity that influences voters. I think it's increasingly becoming less and less the case. But certainly in Seattle and among the old school sort of Democrats and elder progressives in Seattle, those votes really matter. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here. There's some conservatives online celebrating the Seattle Times for doing this. Hell no, I'm not celebrating the Seattle Times. Why? Because they have helped virtually every politician who supports this policy get into power. Who do they endorse for the governor's race in 2024? Bob Ferguson. They literally just endorsed him for governor, despite the fact he had a long track record of runaway spending when he was on the King County Council, raised taxes by $1 billion, doubled the size of his office as attorney general. And he ran a campaign about it being a fiscal hawk with no evidence that he actually would do that. But they endorsed him anyway. And this is his policy. This is the policy he's been pushing and supporting. This quote unquote income tax on millionaires that they're now saying at the Seattle Times is a horrible idea that's being pushed by Democrats who are obsessed with spending too much. It's the dude that you endorsed. And it goes even further than that. I had Nicole this morning look at the list of Democrats who sponsor this legislation. So those are the Democrats who are putting their name on the legislation, meaning they absolutely support it, no qualifications whatsoever. Just a quick search. The Seattle Times has endorsed virtually every single one of them. Senator Jamie Peterson, Senator Monica Dingra, Senator Lisa Wellman, Senator Emily Alvarado, Noel Frame, Rebecca Saldana, John Lovick. They've all been endorsed by the Seattle Times at one time or another. And very well could have helped them win their races. And now the Seattle Times is writing, and again, not just the editorial board. And now the editorial board is saying, oh my gosh, these Democrats are out of control. Their appetite for taxation is out of control. Forgive me, but no shit. Of course it is. It always has been. You endorsed them when it was. You endorsed them when they were pushing capital gains, when they were passing the Climate Commitment Act for billions of dollars in new spending, despite what it would do to the working class. And you do that because it's like, oh my God, we cannot endorse Republicans. They'll only endorse Republicans at the Seattle Times when, like, the choice is two Republicans, and they'll endorse the more moderate Republican. Or if there's a Republican who has spoken out against Donald Trump, and they'll throw a couple of those in there as sort of safe endorsements. But you're willing to endorse virtually every pro-tax Democrat, pro-income tax Democrat, with glowing reviews, You're willing to endorse Bob Ferguson, who has a poor track record and has proven to be, I think, the most dishonest governor in Washington state history. And then you come back and you're shocked that they're pushing for a policy that all of them have always supported, an income tax? So no, I'm not celebrating the Seattle Times. The Seattle Times is annoyingly hypocritical, and they have this sporadic sense of sanity. Either you support limited government and responsible spending, or you don't. You can't support this whole batch of politicians and then stand against all the policies that they push, that they said they were going to push when they campaigned for their jobs. And of course, for the Times, it's all about, oh, Donald Trump is scary, though. Donald Trump bad. Oh, we've got to endorse Bob Ferguson because Dave Reichert, well, he's a Republican, even though he was kind of an anti-Trump Republican. Oh, we can't be seen to do that. Well, Donald Trump's on the top of the ticket. So no, the Seattle Times owns this. They don't get a free pass because they write one op-ed saying we're not in support of the income tax. They need to rein in their spending. No, you own this. You sent them to Olympia. So you own whatever the repercussions are. And I hope it's that your business goes out of business. I hope it's that the Seattle Times goes bankrupt. Honestly, because the business environment is so crappy in Seattle as it is. So I hope it gets worse and worse and worse, and people are just pinching pennies and families because of all these taxes, and they decide that they can't afford to subscribe to the Seattle Times anymore, and you go bankrupt because you're doing that to other businesses. You're doing that to other businesses by supporting the politicians who push these policies. And then you come on the page and you're like, oh, no, no, but we don't want them to spend too much. We don't want them to tax too much. Okay. So as we have this whole debate, and the hearing's at 8 a.m. tomorrow in the House, and I will say the income tax is going to be a heavier lift in the House than it was in the Senate, but I still think it passes in the House. But certainly there are going to be some Democrats in the House who maybe have some, will look at it a little more critically about the impact that this will have. But as we're on this subject of Democrats, by and large, in Washington state are pleading poverty. Like, we need this income tax on millionaires to pay for basic necessities. That's how they spin this. Watch any debate. Oh my gosh, healthcare. Oh, we need it for education. It's about the kids. It's about schools. It's about helping the most vulnerable. What did one of them say last week? It's about helping people like my friend who's been living on the cusp of homelessness because she can't afford her prescription medication. So they really paint this as like people will die or be forced into homelessness if we don't pass an income tax on millionaires. We, of course, know that's not true. And why do we know that's not true? Well, Washington State's budget has ballooned exponentially over the last 20 years. It has far outpaced inflation, and it has far outpaced population growth. So we're spending more money, even if you account for inflation and population growth, we're spending way more money. And we've just started spending money on so many things. The climate grift stuff, pushing money to their friends and allies in the unions, like the WEA for some whack teacher training program that really hasn't produced any results, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the example I always give, as you guys know, in arguing against really any increase in taxation, and I use this example because it's the dumbest example of the government spending your money on something, and it's the laser hair removal for transgender prison inmates, of course. Because I think most reasonable people would be like, why are we spending taxpayer money on laser hair removal and boob jobs for transgender prison inmates? And as I've talked about that, I've had a recognition that it's not this massive sum of money, right, that we're spending. But it doesn't matter because it shows a set of priorities. And it shows just how insane the list of things is that Democrats will spend your hard-earned money on while pleading poverty. But it turns out there was this investigation by the Daily Wire. And actually, I was surprised at just how much money was actually being spent on this gender-affirming care for violent felons in our state's prison system. I'll admit, I didn't know it was even this much. So the story from the Daily Wire, which I highly encourage you to go read and share with all your friends who think that we ought to be passing a new tax in Washington state, it's called Just How Much of Your Money Funds Trans Surgeries in Prison. And it's about a guy named Dr. Jeffrey Stiller, who says that his surgeries make patients happy about who they are, but they've also made him millions of dollars in Medicaid payments. So before I even get to the numbers, which are pretty staggering, remember that this isn't a secret. You know, we've of course talked about it for a long time, and inevitably, when I say something about our tax money is being spent giving laser hair removal and boob jobs to transgender prison inmates, people are like, that's not true. You're just making that up. No, not only am I not making it up, Democrats are proud of it. Like, Democrats celebrate it. And they are more than happy to say on the record, yes, I support using your tax money to give boob jobs and laser hair removal to prison inmates. You'll recall we had State Representative Sean Scott, who caucuses with the Democrats, on our show, and I asked him that very question.
Do you really believe that taxpayer money should be spent on something like that?
I have no qualms with people who are within correctional facilities, which is, you know, when people come out of correctional mm-hmm. facilities, I had the chance to visit one of those earlier this year, a women's correctional facility in the 26th Legislative District. And what I saw was that it can be a tremendously isolating environment, especially for people who are in what is called segregated housing. It might be a difference in how we look at the role that these institutions can play, but I believe that I would believe that there are probably 100 things before we get to
doesn't matter. I'm asking you a question.
Or making use of those kinds of resources within a prison.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Do you believe that taxpayer money should be spent giving a prison inmate laser hair removal?
I do. Yeah, I think.
Holy shit, Sean!
I think if that's
that's crazy.
I think if that's somebody who is in a state-run facility, there are many people who might be within that correctional facility that are undergoing all kinds of personal transformations that it'd be very difficult for people on the outside to comprehend.
Yeah, no, I comprehend. I had laser hair removal. It cost me several thousand dollars over like the course of 10 years. You're telling me I could have committed a violent offense, gone to prison and got it for free? So this isn't something, some right-wing talking point that we're sort of twisting numbers and stuff. No, Democrats intentionally funded it using your money, and they're very proud of it because they see it as necessary health care. But again, the number shocked me at this time when we're pleading poverty from the Daily Wire. Stiller Aesthetics, a cosmetic surgery practice led by Dr. Jeffrey Stiller, has received more than $4.3 million from the Washington State Healthcare Authority since July of 2019, according to a state spending database. Dr. Stiller has performed over 1,000 vaginoplasties, averaging 5 procedures a week, and is a, quote, extremely sought after doctor for male to female bottom surgeries. It says, while the state spending database does not provide specifics for what each payment Dr. Stiller was for, public records reviewed by the Daily Wire show Stiller's clientele include inmates from the Washington State Department of Corrections. Payments to Dr. Stiller have continued since Trump's election, with the database showing he pulled in more than $800,000 in taxpayer funds in 2025 alone. And this is a guy, by the way, who used to do his work in Idaho until the citizens of Idaho literally ran him out of town and said, no, you're not going to perform your mutilations here. So what did he do? Oh, he picked up and went to Spokane so he could perform his mutilations in a state like Washington that not only allows it, but funds it with taxpayer dollars. It says in 2017, Dr. Stiller gained national attention after being given permission to perform vaginoplasties at a small town hospital in Idaho, despite strong objections from the community. The Washington Post profiled him as a compassionate surgeon caught in the crosshairs of so-called transphobia in November 2017. In that article, he refers to performing vaginoplasties on gender-confused patients as, quote, the right thing to do. However, after experiencing backlash and multiple controversies in Idaho related to gender medicine, Dr. Stiller started a new practice 6 years ago in Spokane, Washington, where it was, quote, much safer to take care of patients, according to Stiller Aesthetics website. And we are given that sick and twisted individual. Well, we're not. The state of Washington is giving them millions of dollars in payments. This is what he does, okay? His specialty, he's a cosmetic surgeon. So even if not every single dollar of that $4.3 million was to give some sort of bottom surgery to prison inmates, all of it was for cosmetic procedures because that's what he does. So all of it is your tax money, $4.3 million, at a time when Democrats tomorrow will be in a committee hearing arguing that we're broke, we're poor, we don't have money to fund education, we don't have money to spend the basics, people are going to wind up on the streets, they're going to wind up without their medication, while they keep writing checks to this chop-chop doctor for millions of dollars. Like, I struggle with anyone far of, like, far left crazy, because I want to make sure I don't paint every Democrat with that brush. I struggle to see how, like, 95% of the population is accepting of that. So, like, I know, you know, conservatives and Republicans think it's nuts, but they're in the minority in Washington state. And Democrats in the majority passed this stuff. These line items exist. They approved of it. I mean, how is that possible? How do people keep voting for this? Like, if you're a socialist or an uber, like, a far leftist, I get it. I'm not gonna be able to change your mind on this because you genuinely believe that this is, like, necessary medical care. But for every other Democrat, liberal Democrat, reasonable progressive Democrat, you have to realize this is stupid, right? Because if they're saying we don't have money for all these, like, necessities, then aren't you should be in support of saying, hey, let's stop giving prison inmates boob jobs and vaginoplasties. I just really struggle with this one, to see how these people keep getting elected who push nonsense like this. One other thing I just wanted to highlight on the show today, some of these twisted financial priorities as they go plead poverty. So there was this, and I apologize, I didn't write down the person's X handle, but it was just a citizen on X who pointed this out. So in 2023, Democrats passed House Bill 1169. The sole purpose of this bill was to reduce financial penalties for criminals. So for instance, as one example, it was changing a previous law that levied certain, like, crime victim penalty assessments on offenders. It said, when any juvenile is adjudicated of an offense that is a most serious offense as defined in state law or a sex offense, there shall be imposed upon the juvenile offender a penalty assessment. This assessment shall be in addition to any other penalty or fine imposed by law and shall be $100 for each case or cause of action. So this bill eliminated that line in the law where if you're a juvenile and let's say you commit a sex crime, let's say you commit an act, a felony act of domestic violence. The law used to be that you had a $100 penalty assessment. And usually what that goes to is to help crime victims. And they said, nah. So House Bill 1169, passed in 2023, got rid of that. Look at this bill that is going to become law this session. House Bill 1498. It adds a $100 fee to the cost of a marriage license. And the point of it is to fund a domestic violence program. So think about this for a second, okay? In 2023, they eliminated these $100 fines against violent criminals and sex offenders. Fast forward 2 years, they added a $100 fine to the cost of getting a marriage license to fund a program to help crime victims, domestic abuse survivors. So people who've done nothing wrong and just want to get married are paying into the fund to help crime victims, where the criminals no longer have to pay into the fund to help crime victims. That's the priority and the way of thinking of the party in power in Washington state. If you have a domestic abuse victim, who should be responsible for the fund that helps domestic abuse victims? Should it be the domestic abusers? Or should it be the people who just want to get married and haven't done anything wrong? It's absolutely insane. These two things, and again, credit to the Citizen Sleuth. I should have saved their X account so I could have sent you there. But credit to them for over a span of 3 years recognizing they got rid of the $100 fine over here against criminals and added the $100 cost to marriage licenses. It's wild. It's a way of thinking that I will never be able to wrap my mind around. All right, coming up next, we have an exclusive story that takes us to Burlington, Washington, and a violent assault on a young woman that we'll get to, and also going to talk about an op-ed that we put out this morning. First, before we get there, however, could the future of AI impact your retirement? And are you concerned about that? I mean, there's a lot of conversation about AI. Are you overwhelmed with all the noise about AI, crypto, tech? So if you're questioning if your portfolio is positioned for those financial uncertainties, wouldn't it be smart to just get a second opinion? And you can do that with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Bulwark Capital is focused on risk management, built around the fundamentals of value investing. They're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So why not get a second opinion? It doesn't cost you a thing. Schedule your Know Your Risk portfolio review today at knowyourriskpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can sign up to get daily market updates every single day from Zach Abraham on his Know Your Risk podcast. You can also follow him on YouTube, social platforms. Just search Know Your Risk podcast. All right, before we get to this exclusive story, which I have to say is a pretty tough one, we published a guest piece this morning on Patreon and Locals from a Washington citizen named Kristen Magnuson. The headline, How to Investigate Fraud When the Media and Politicians Won't. How a Citizen with an Art Degree Uncovered More About Potential Childcare Fraud Than Legacy News. Now, I've been working with Kristen on this for a while. I'd reached out to her a few weeks ago because Kristen, and again, she's a Washington citizen. She's got an art degree. She's not like a professional journalist or fraud investigator or anything like this. But like a lot of people following the report from Nick Shirley out of Minneapolis about alleged fraud perpetrated within the Smalley community there, Kristen got interested in it. And Kristen wanted to, you know, start to investigate it on her own. And she was like, gosh, this is interesting. What can I do about this? And she's always just been very curious. And so she decided, like, just started with a simple Google search about childcare funds in Washington and ended up diving deep into a state database at some, you know, very shady and suspicious payments to childcare facilities in Washington. And it took her down this whole path of going out with independent journalists like Jonathan Cho and Cam Higby and Carlene Johnson at the Center Square and investigating some of these daycare centers in real life. Her work was viewed millions of times. Elon Musk shared her work. And so she wrote this story for us that I encourage you to go read about how easy it is to do the things that journalists aren't doing that they should be doing. And I'll tell you, like, I mean, there are maybe a few things that make someone a good journalist. But for some of the journalists who are very young, working in newsrooms in Seattle and elsewhere, I promise you, there's not a specific set of skills. There isn't. There really isn't. You can do this work, especially at a time when legacy news isn't doing it. Kristen wrote in this piece, she said, the strange thing is that findings that she located about, you know, audits and failed audits with the against the Department of Children, Youth and Family, she says they weren't private or hard to uncover. They were right there on a government website for all to see for years. So she asks, why did it take a citizen with an art degree in Washington State to shed light on them? She said, thanks to social media, we can amplify our concerns so that officials who do have the tools and authority to investigate can be pressured to do so. State officials have seemingly ignored these red flags for years. Our question and concerns are fair. We are not racists for recognizing patterns and asking questions. Our elected officials owe us transparency. And if the media won't demand it, we should. So I highly encourage you to go to Patreon Locals. There's no paywall on it. And read Kristen's story about how she got involved in investigating potential daycare fraud in Washington State after Nick Shirley's report in Minneapolis. And I think what you'll come away with is, well, that doesn't sound too hard. I could do that too. And again, millions of people viewed her reporting. Even legacy news outlets used it as a launching pad to start their own investigations into what was happening in Washington State. So it's a great story about how one citizen, speaking of civic engagement, how one citizen can make a huge difference when it comes to public discussion and debate over how our taxpayer money is spent. So a huge thanks to Kristen Magnuson for filing that guest report for us today. All right. First, let me say about this story, a little bit of a, I guess, a warning. It's a story about a beating of a 13-year-old girl at a public school. I am not going to play the video. YouTube has started to crack down, and understandably so, about sort of violent depictions involving youth. And also, it is just really hard to watch. So I want to give you the choice of whether to watch it. So I've posted the video to my Facebook and X account this morning because Facebook and X have a little bit looser standards when it comes to content like that. So if you choose to watch it, by all means. I find it very, very difficult to watch. So this story takes us to Lucille Umbarger Middle School in the Burlington, Edison, Washington School District. And one of the most disturbing parts is this is eighth grade. This is eighth grade. So the video, these kids are 13 years old in the video. which just shows you a stunning level of violence. So I'm going to kind of explain what led up to this moment. So the victim's a 13-year-old girl. Her boyfriend had posted some TikToks. And in one of them, he said, plan A, marry a nice girl, have kids, get rich. And in the other one, he said, plan B, become an ICE agent. Okay. So this boy posts this sort of a joke about what his life plans are. And one of them is to become an ICE agent. So after that, his girlfriend, again, 13-year-old girl, is in a locker room, correct, Nicole? Locker room at school. And I'm going to show you the images, but I'll just give you a graphic warning. Even the images are graphic, so I just don't want anybody to have to see anything they don't want to see. But she is in a locker room when two girls approach her, and according to her and her mom, who we've been in touch with, they demand to know whether she supports Donald Trump and ICE. And when she tells them it's none of their business, they violently assault her, beat her repeatedly over the head, yank her hair, try to pull her to the ground, while another student films it with their camera, with their cell phone. And at one point, there's a student who kind of walks in, sees what's happening, and leaves. And man, it was vicious. So because her boyfriend posted some joke about maybe working for ICE, these two girls confront her in the locker room. This is according to the 13-year-old victim and her mother. Confront her in the locker room, demand to know whether she supports Donald Trump and ICE. And when she says it's none of their business, they beat the living hell out of her. And as with so many of these stories, the family is saying that the school district has handled it poorly. Now, we've reached out to the school district. We've also reached out to the Burlington Police Department. We just, as we were starting the show, got a response from them, which we'll share with you momentarily. But this morning, this happened last week, 5 days after the assault, and this video was circulated widely throughout the school. That's how the mom got it. It's like a staff member with the school saw it, and it was sent to them. So a video of her daughter being beaten was being shared among students and staff at the school. Took 5 days for the principal of the school to call her. Took 5 days. There'd been other people at the, like some conflict resolution person in touch with her. But for the principal of the school, after her daughter was savagely beaten and it was recorded on a cell phone video, took 5 days, finally called the mom this morning. And that's after, Nicole, correct, we had reached out to the school for comment. So it's another one of those examples where I think it's probably because we reached out to the school and they knew that this video was going to get out and they knew it was going to be a whole ordeal. So they finally picked up the phone and called the mom. We also know that the police department is involved. So we just got an email from the chief of police in Burlington, Kevin Turner. He said, we do have an active case on this incident and are working through all the details as an active case and involving juveniles. There's not a lot I can release at this time beyond that. But we know that the principal told the mom this morning that they're working on some sort of school safety plan. The mom says that the police who spoke to her said they want the school to extend a suspension of these girls until they can figure out how the victim can attend school safely. So we haven't, and we have received no response from the school district as of yet. But I'll say, you know, and there's a couple things that it's hard for us to actually confirm, but the victim and the mom say that these two girls are Hispanic. From the video and from the sound of it, yeah, I can see that. And the victim is white. This is the result of adults. This sort of stuff, I mean, I'm not saying when I was a kid that, like, there weren't fights at school, right? But what was it about? It was about, like, oh, you offended me. You said something to me. Oh, you messed around with my girlfriend. Like, that's what the fights were about. Kid stuff. This is adult stuff. Look at this, these images again of the aggression, of the anger. And the video, if you want to watch it, go watch it. It's horrible. I mean, the sound of fists hitting this young girl's head, shaking this morning watching it, because they wanted to know if she supported Donald Trump and ICE. And she said it was none of their business. This is the result of rhetoric from so-called leaders, who have literally spun up a population of people to believe that Donald Trump is out there hunting them down based on skin color. I mean, that's disgusting. This sort of stuff doesn't happen without the influence of adults. So for all the teachers, and I'm not saying every teacher does this, but we've given so many examples of teachers who are out there radicalizing kids, pushing anti-ICE, anti-Trump propaganda in classrooms at a very young age. It's a result of those educators. It's the result of parents who are putting this like fear and instilling this fear into their kids and taking their kids to protests and talking about how horrible Donald Trump is and not just letting them be kids. And if they want to fight over kids stuff, like, oh, you offended me on the basketball court, whatever. Well, I don't know what kids fight about these days. Oh, you posted something mean about me on TikTok. You know, kids fight. I'm not saying kids don't fight. This was a brutal beating over the perceived political views of a 13-year-old girl. Perceived. Do you support Trump? Do you support ICE? None of your business. She's 13. And they beat her senseless. And it took 5 days for the principal of that school to pick up the phone and call the mom. Absolutely unacceptable. And I'll tell you what, if this was two Hispanic girls beating a white girl because they think she supports Trump, that should be a hate crime. And I can't tell, and the victim can't remember because obviously she's being beat while this is happening, but they're shouting something at her and it sounds a lot like they're calling her racist. It's either racist or basic, could be both, but it sounds a lot like that. So police need to investigate, figure out if race played a factor in this. And if it did, that should be a hate crime. And these 13-year-old girls are going to upend their life because they're that unhinged. Some adults have made them that unhinged about Donald Trump and about immigration enforcement. Shame on every single adult who has put kids in that position and who has pushed their hate and their political ideology on children. So, I mean, I don't have sympathy for these 13-year-old girls who are beating this other student. The only person I have sympathy for is the victim. But let's not pretend that they do this on their own. Let's not pretend that there aren't adults who are creating such hostility for our youth. It's absolutely, absolutely disgusting. All right, and we will update you, of course, when we hear something back from the school about what they're going to do. But how do you send a kid back to a school like that? And that's a horrible position for a parent to be in. I can't even imagine. And look, the video is difficult to watch. But the victim and the victim's mom wanted us to show it to the public. For as many people are going to see that, they want people to know what's happening in these schools and just how unhinged things have gotten. It's unbelievable. I was just livid this morning thinking about it. I know Nicole was just spun up about it all weekend. All right, coming up next in our segment, Unbelievable, a former propagandist for the Chinese Communist Party in Seattle says he's launching a website to dox police officers and claims it's going to be tax deductible. A lot of layers in this story to dive into. Someone tag the FBI. First, our friend Dave Taylor at First Mark Insurance was in studio with us recently to talk about the insurance market, how things are going. You know, there's been some weird periods of time with insurance. For instance, we had him in to talk about when all the thefts of, like, it was Kia and what? Kia, what were the two cars that were like you could steal?
Hyundai.
Kia and Hyundai. That were getting stolen like crazy. So it made car insurance very difficult for people with those vehicles. So we had him in back then. We were kind of following up with him on some industry things. But I was also telling him, you know, I hear from a lot of Undivided viewers and listeners that they take the First Mark challenge, but you actually turn away their business because the current insurance they have is actually pretty good. That to me is a sign of an honest company where you're going to say, hey, we can't beat that. You've got great insurance at a great price. I would keep it.
Yeah. And if I can just say this really clearly, we are good with that.
Yeah.
We are okay with that, mm-hmm. right? Because we believe there's three things that every customer should have. They should have the right coverage. They should have it at the most affordable price possible.
Yeah.
And they should get great service. If they're getting all three of those things where they are, then they should stay there.
Yeah.
Right? They're in a good place.
I feel like that's, I love Dave Taylor. I feel like, and his mom, she's going to call you. His wife is a super fan of the show. And I'm like, yes. But I feel like he's just, I don't want to offend him with this. He's like your dad who just wants to he wants the best for you. You know what I mean?
It's true.
It's your dad who wants the best for you, even if it means you don't do business with his company. And mm-hmm. that's what I just love about First Mark. And by the way, so the reason First Mark advertises on our show is they were longtime advertisers on Dory Monson's show before he passed away. But this month, they're doing something in Dory's honor. So February is Heart Month. So this month, they're making donations for each 5-star Google review and each referral they receive to support leading edge cardiovascular care at Providence Everett. So helping strengthen heart health resources right here at home. And it's dedicated to the memory of our friend Dory Monson. So here's what you can do. If you've already taken the First Mark challenge, this is super simple. So just go to Google and leave a review, and First Mark will donate $25 for every review this month. And then if you introduce a new client to First Mark, they're going to donate $50 for every referral this month in honor of Dory Monson to help support leading edge cardiovascular care at Providence Everett. So you can do that. And if you haven't taken the First Mark challenge, now is a great time to do it. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. All right, this is kind of a weird sentence, but a former propagandist for the Chinese Communist Party is running a website to dox cops in Seattle and is claiming that it's soon going to be able to accept tax-deductible donations. Let's talk about it in our segment. Unbelievable. Strange times we're living in. All right, calling on the Department of Justice, calling on the FBI, and I hate to do this because I'm no snitch, but calling on the IRS. Yes, as much as I dislike the IRS, I think we could use their help with this one. So there's a local cop hater account called Divest SPD. They posted this in response to a New York Post article about New York City cops being harassed and doxxed by social media agitators. Divest SPD shared that and proudly said, "We're creating a statewide database in Washington that enables you to dox cops the same way. We got fiscal sponsorship for it last month, and you'll soon be able to make tax-deductible donations. In the meantime, you can donate here." And I looked at that and I thought, what? So them doxing cops is really no surprise. But that little bit about, first of all, we received fiscal sponsorship for it last month. I'd sure as hell like to know who decided to support that work. And then saying that you'll soon be able to make tax-deductible donations. I'm thinking, I think there's some laws around that. And I'm not sure that you can have an organization that sole purpose exists to dox police officers and make those donations tax deductible. And then the other little wrinkle is, of course, the background of who this guy is, who runs the Divest SPD account. He is a little white guy named Justin Ward, who just thinks he is God's gift to the left wing, just doing the right thing out there, saving people of color from the cops because he's just got his white savior complex. But he also used to work, and I'm not exaggerating, he worked for the Chinese Communist Party. So this came out, gosh, a few years ago now. His name, again, Justin Ward. So he's bragged in the past about working for the People's Daily, which is the official newspaper of the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party, according to our friends at the Post-Millennial. The outlet described his work, and this is back from 2010, from the People's Daily Online. They described him as a journalist hailing from the United States. He graduated from the University of Texas in 2007 with a degree in sociology and freelanced for a few publications before moving to China to witness the massive changes the country is undergoing in the 21st century. He is currently studying Chinese, living in Beijing, and working as an editor and columnist for the People's Daily Online English Edition. The Post-Millennial goes on to say, on February 2nd, 2020, Ward tweeted praise for the communist country that sends Muslims to concentration camps, writing, "I lived in China for 8 years. I worked for state media. I had 15 days paid vacation, and my health insurance covered 90% of medical costs with no premium or deductible. I had a free apartment. My female colleagues had like 2 months maternity leave guaranteed by the state." So even years after he no longer worked as a propagandist for the Chinese Communist Party, he was bragging about what a utopia it is in China. Like all the communist stuff and re-education camps and, you know, quashing dissent and lack of freedoms. But oh my gosh, I was treated so well as an American. Well, I was writing for the Chinese Communist Party. And then he comes back from a communist nation to the United States, the freest place on earth, and decides he's going to run an account that has the sole purpose of doxing police officers. And he was one of the bigger voices in the defund debate back in 2020. And so he has this right now. He's already accepting. Oh my God, this drives me nuts. I hate this. He's already accepting donations to run this doxing site. I mean, I don't know when he's planning to make it a nonprofit where the donations can be tax deductible, but he accepts donation for support, material aid, and comfort. $10 a month for material aid and comfort. What are you comforting? And he says, our members are currently working other jobs, creating a bottleneck on our ability to achieve our mission. And so he's asking for money. And his goal is $40,000. He's already received 28% of that. So people have already given him more than 10 grand. That's just so Seattle. More than 10 grand to pursue this website he's putting together that will help you track and name and dox Seattle police officers. And he says that soon it will be tax deductible. Over my dead body. Over my dead body will your police doxing account be tax deductible, even if I have to personally call up my friend Donald. I don't actually have his number. I only met him once. But we can certainly tag the hell, the DOJ, FBI, IRS, all of those things to make sure that that does not happen, because that's completely inappropriate, obviously, and it should be illegal. So you know what? Go back to China, sir. Go back to communist China. All right, we'll get to some national news. Oh, it's good stuff. Coming up next, first, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. If you have, you know, a couple, one or even a dozen rental units, RHA is just a great organization to be part of. It's a huge network across the state of landlords and housing providers just like you. So they have events all the time. You can get together, commiserate, all whatever you need to do as a housing provider in the state of Washington these days. And then RHA is down in Olympia right now during the session fighting on your behalf. They helped to defeat that bill that would have raised costs for short-term rentals like Airbnbs. And then also they can help you on an individual basis. If you're just trying to navigate changing rules and regulations, or if you find yourself in a predicament with a squatter or something, they can always offer advice and make sure that you know sort of what your rights are as a landlord. So rhawa.org, rhawa.org. This might be my favorite story of the year. What was my previous favorite story of the year? Oh, the Seattle Times doing a front page story on the chick who used to live in Washington, who played a Bush during the Bad Bunny halftime show while the Seattle Times was begging for a taxpayer-funded bailout. I think this might surpass that. So another round of storms in New York City, blizzard warnings and travel shutdowns trap millions at home in the northeastern United States. And I lived in New York for a short period of time, not during the winter, though, but I visited in the winter, and it does definitely grind the city to a standstill when there's snowfall. So Mayor Mamdani had a good idea, and frankly, I support this idea. I support this idea. He said, hey, we got a bunch of New Yorkers. There's like, what, 8 million people in New York? So let's see if people, you know, maybe looking for work or a little paycheck or something. Let's hire a bunch of people to be emergency shovelers.
We're utilizing 33 DSNY vans and 2 DSNY buses to transport shovelers where they're needed faster. And for those who want to do more to help your neighbors and earn some extra cash, you too can become an emergency snow shoveler. Just show up at your local sanitation garage between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. tomorrow with your paperwork, which is accessible online at nyc.gov/snow, and you can get started right away.
I literally love that. And I do think in more natural disasters, I mean, usually citizens are pretty good at coming out to help their neighbors. But if you have people, I mean, they're paying, according to the website, the New York City Department of Sanitation, $19.14 per hour to $28.71 per hour after the first 40 hours worked. So if you want to go out there, get some exercise, get some arm work in, and work more than 40 hours trying to shovel snow, you'll be making almost $30 an hour. So to be eligible, you have to be 18 years old. Eligible to work in the United States. Okay, getting a little suspicious here. Able to perform heavy physical labor. And in order to register, you have to have 2 original forms of ID and your social security. Wait a second here. As people promptly pointed out, you don't need ID to vote in New York City, and they're very opposed to it because it's racist, but you need 2 forms of ID plus copies and your social security card to shovel snow. And the city that welcomed in a bunch of illegals from the southern border and gave them free stuff says in order to shovel snow, you have to be eligible to work in the United States. Wow. I mean, just some blatant hypocrisy. And that got a lot of traction. I mean, that's hilarious. That is genuinely hilarious that you have to show more ID to shovel snow on in an emergency situation in New York City than you do to participate in a federal election. Just as proof that that's absurd. Although, you know, I don't know how many people they're going to be able to get to shovel snow if those are the requirements, because it can be really hard, as you know, to find these forms of ID. I mean, Gavin Newsom was in Atlanta on Sunday. He had an event promoting his memoir, and he said even he, as the governor of California, has no idea where his birth certificate is.
So this is madness. Voter ID. It's not about voter ID. The SAVE Act's not about that. It's about registration. It's about proving your citizenship with a passport. Not everyone has a passport. You know where your birth certificate is?
Yes.
I lost that at 7. I mean, I don't even know where to begin to get it back.
To which people pointed out, if he can't find his birth certificate and he can't figure out how, I don't think he can run for president in 2028, which is fine by me. But yeah, Gavi, if you want to run for president in 2028, I think you're going to have to dig that thing up or, you know, get a replacement, which you certainly would be able to do. So it's just hilarious. I mean, and that just shows you it's not about what makes sense. It's about politics. And that's why I refuse to belong to a political party. But that's what so many things have become. It's like we can't just take a step out and say, yeah, that makes sense. You know, we require ID for a ton of other things. So voting might be a good thing to require ID for. No, we can't do that. But we can require you for two forms of ID in order to shovel snow in an emergency in New York City. Gavin Newsom also had that. I didn't pull this, but that he was saying to this crowd, you have it?
I do.
Oh, you want to play it? The crowd about the IQ thing? Okay, pull it up. Good job, Nicole. She had it. He's talking to a crowd in Atlanta. There is a lot of black people in the crowd, and the moderator is black. I think it's the moderator is the mayor of Atlanta, I think. And I have no idea what would make him say this. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy.
What?
and I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, trying to act all there if you got 940. But literally a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech. Maybe the wrong business to be in.
What is wrong with him? So he's telling a mostly black crowd, I'm just like you. I can't read. I'm just like you. I got a 960 on my SAT. So you think they're stupid? I'm just like you. I can't read good. Absolutely insane. The pandering. Soft bigotry of low expectations. All right. The State of the Union is tomorrow. I'm excited about our plans. That's tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to Ari Hoffman at KVI has something cool called Stake of the Union at Daniel Broiler. Sorry, I should have had those details. Stake of the Union, where you just eat steak, drink, and watch the State of the Union. So that's what Nicole and I are doing. I'm super jazzed about that. But I know that there are going to be a lot of people who are deciding not to watch the State of the Union and not to show up for it. The Democrats, true to form, Adam Schiff. I won't attend Trump's State of the Union on Tuesday. This isn't business as usual. Senator Patty Murray of Washington State, Trump is a disgrace. He's easily the most corrupt president in American history by a long shot. I'm not attending his State of the Union to listen to him ramble and lie. Instead, I'll be sharing the ways he's hurting hardworking Americans. Gosh, maybe you should come back to Washington State and share the way that your own party is hurting hardworking Washingtonians. Pramila Jayapal, the congresswoman representing Seattle. Well, I will not be attending Trump's State of the Union this year. I'm glad to be hosting Marjik Chartouni to ensure that survivors of Epstein's horrific abuse are in the room as Trump speaks. The fight for the truth will not end until all those responsible are held accountable. Again, not one single Epstein file was released under the Biden administration, but I digress. Yeah, in other news, water is wet. I literally don't care that Democrats aren't attending the State of the Union. Does that surprise anyone? That doesn't surprise me one bit. And frankly, nobody's going to notice you're gone. Nobody's going to notice you're gone. The Republicans will just fill up the seats. So it's just gotten so petty. It used to be that we could sit down, you get your moment to applaud or jeer or whatever it is, but now they have to make some statement. I mean, there were members of Congress who I've literally never heard of posting videos saying, I'm not attending the State of the Union. I'm like, I don't even know who you are. It's like some first term member of Congress. If you walked by me on a street, I wouldn't know you were a member of Congress. I don't care if you're at President Trump's State of the Union or not. Give me a break. All right, we'll get to our Daily Show poll coming up next and comments from the live stream. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Wes does a couple things that are very strategic to try to eliminate stress from the home selling process. The first thing, and he started doing this about 10 years ago, he has taken a proactive approach to preparing listings, including pre-inspection. So every listing he sells is pre-inspected. And over 90% of buyers on his listings use the pre-listing inspection. This allows them to sometimes waive the inspection contingency that reduces renegotiations, last-minute repair requests, last-minute contract fallout. He says this alone has significantly improved outcomes for his clients. And then he folds that into his Listing Boost concierge service, where they can come in, handle cosmetic upgrades, and even make sure you don't have to pay for it until closing. So it's just about eliminating stress in an already stressful process. So if you're thinking about selling your home, go to sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right. This is hearkening back to our lead story on the show about more than 100,000 people signing in against the income tax ahead of a key hearing tomorrow morning. I asked our subscribers on Patreon, Locals, and X, have you participated directly in supporting or opposing bills or initiatives this legislative session? Yes or no? I mean, Nicole, I know the answer for you, but go ahead. What have you done?
Yes, I have.
Besides producing a show that does just that every single day.
Well, we've shown up on the steps, number one.
Yes.
And then I have signed in con to a lot of bills.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do.
Yes.
It's become, I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And then just because Brian Haywood was making a joke, because they called us bots last time, mm-hmm. he said, register your company as not a bot. And so I did that. I was like, I'm absolutely not a, or no. I said, definitely a bot, I think I said. I think I'll have to check back how I registered, but I think I said definitely a bot.
Hoping that Brian would see it.
Sure. All right. 89% of you said yes. That's awesome. Oh, my goodness.
See, that's why that 89%.
Let's just take credit for it. Just
okay.
us. Yeah. Just undivided viewers.
I'm in.
Let's see. 89% is awesome. Aaron says, I've registered my position on many bills and will continue to do so. It is disheartening, though, as the majority party in the state doesn't listen to anyone who disagrees with them. And that is true. It's like a million people could register con and they'd still pass the thing. It really just doesn't matter. But it matters in the sense that I think when you take that step to get civically engaged, it's easier to stay that way and to see how easy it is and to tell your friends and family how easy it is. So I love it. Let's see. Pickle Man, only through direct conversations with friends and telling people to watch and subscribe to your podcast, of course. Being a full-time caregiver for my wife limits my time. Yeah, and I will say these things take 30 seconds. I mean, signing in, and usually somebody will provide a link. You can click on it and you have to fill out your name. I think your city or zip code or something. And then just what position. It takes 30 seconds to be able to do. Let's see. Sherry says, I sign in pro or con and write my opinion and ask questions of my representatives. I encourage everyone I know to sign in on bills. I think the word is getting out about how to do this based on the huge increase in participation. You know what I would not be surprised about? Is that the latest number? 100,151. I love that. I would not be surprised if next session, Democrats move to get rid of the registration part of it. That you can't just register your position if you're not going to show up and testify.
You're right. I think they will.
And they could also do it with, because they always read at the end of the hearing for that bill, how many registered pro and con. And that's kind of the little audio clip we always want, the little mm-hmm. video clip. I would not be surprised if next year they do away with that process entirely.
They just stop, yeah.
Because they're like, oh, we just don't. It was like the advisory votes. They did that when Tim Iman passed mm-hmm. this thing where you had to have, if they passed a new tax automatically on the next ballot, there would be an advisory vote from citizens where citizens could say they support the tax or don't. It didn't change the tax. But the idea was to advise the legislature on how you felt about the tax. Mm-hmm. And what do? They got rid of it. Because they're like, we don't care about your opinion and we're not going to change our minds. So this is the first time I thought of that. I think that they get rid of it. Let's see.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope they try.
I hope they try. I really do. Todd says, Brandy, I regularly provide input on legislation. I research different bills and give my cons or pros. I've probably provided input on over 50 bills. That's way more than I've done. Love that. That's probably more than I've even covered. So that's awesome. I love that. It makes me so happy that you guys are in the 80 plus percent of you say that you have weighed in or done something proactive this session.
And I do think that's great. The people testifying have been real people.
Yeah.
It's nice to see. I mean, I haven't done it, That is intimidating to me. So I like props to those who are able to go out there and do it and not just send the union reps and the, you know, the usual crowd.
Well, it's hard. And like tomorrow, the hearing's at 8 a.m. and it's on a Tuesday. And so you really, I mean, you can do it remotely, but you have to be there ready the whole time to go. So you can't just tune in, tune out. So it's really hard to have your input in that way. So the signing in is an easy step. And I don't know if it makes a difference or not. For maybe some Democrat who's on the fence, maybe it does. And all we can do is try, right?
It looks
all
bad.
We can
do is try. At least it makes them look bad.
Yeah, there it is. All right, comments from the live stream on the 100,000 plus for sanity. Papa Bapio says, the time has come. I don't know why I said that in a Hispanic accent. Papa Bapio.
It's probably like Italian
it's
or something.
It's more Asian, really. Now I'm going to get canceled. The time has come for the people who have been complacent to speak out. I agree. Tammy, don't they need a constitutional amendment to do this? Or do they not just care anymore? Yes, they should pass a constitutional amendment to pass an income tax that's against the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So what they should do if they really want this is to amend the Constitution. But they won't do that because they know what the result will be. So they just want their buddies on the state Supreme Court to
do them a solid.
Yeah. Deb, the rad tech, won't all the politicians have to pay the millionaires tax also? Patty Murray, Bobby, and those guys are millionaires. Well, Bob doesn't, it's an income. And so you can have assets that are worth more than a million. Like most homeowners in Washington, I don't know if it's most, but a lot of homeowners in Washington would be millionaires because of the value of their home, but that the your portfolio doesn't say that you'll apply for the millionaire's tax. Mm-hmm. But when they reduce it to be an income tax on everyone, then yes, all of them would have to pay it.
Or when the businesses start leaving, or when the rich people start taking the jobs with them to other states.
Yes. All right. On tax dollars being spent on transgender surgeries for inmates, Nancy said they spend too much on stuff that can't be audited. And then they won't tell
privacy.
You.
Oh, privacy.
You can't get the information individually because it's privacy. Mm-hmm. So we don't get to know what surgeries our money was used to perform on who. Interesting.
But in some of these, it gave this report mentioned some of the specifications are like special privileges that these people are getting because the doctor recommends that they have their own cell for a while because they need to do some pretty invasive things. And they get to stay in these hospitals that is definitely a better situation than the jail.
They get special treatment because they say they're trans. Wild.
Crazy.
Patty, oh my God, do they think prison should be a picnic? Prison can be isolating. It's a punishment. It's not supposed to be a good experience. It's supposed to deter you from committing crimes.
I literally think they're like, trans one, trans two, trans. Yeah. Like they're keeping track.
Oh, 100%. Lynn, cosmetic surgery is elective. Why is the government paying for it? I agree. Now, there are some things like if you had like some horrific accident and you need some reconstruction, a plastic surgeon would do that. So I don't really believe every plastic surgery is elective, but these are obviously elective. All right. On local schools failing to protect the girl from the anti-ICE teens. And look, I don't know if it's the school failing to protect them, but, you know, certainly on the back end, it doesn't seem like they were real concerned immediately about coming up with a plan to make sure that child could attend school
tell you
safely.
This girl thinks that the school is not keeping her safe.
Yeah.
And so I believe that the principal made her feel better today to some extent. Like he's trying to make her feel safe now. But in this moment, she did not feel safe.
Yeah. TM said, I know these kids personally. Only one of the kids is Mexican. The other one is white. But this is so wrong and so sad. I just took my daughter out of this same school 3 weeks ago because three girls jumped her as well. Oh, my gosh. The principal did nothing but suspend the girls for 2 days. It's insane. That is wild. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that clarification.
You can't really see the second girl.
So, yeah. And the victim said she thought they were both Mexican, but one of them's white. Fine. Old Sub Sailor, kids can be vicious. They have significantly less filters and a sense of social norms. They can pack up very quickly when in large social groups. We saw this with the walkouts at the schools where it was like, all of a sudden, these kids are in a mob, a violent mob, just like that.
Right.
Rick. And
it's just being allowed. Also, these kids were not allowed cell phones on campus. Well, there's a cell phone recording it.
Yep. Which, thank God, honestly.
And there was a walkout on campus, which I have heard that this school possibly handled the walkout better than other schools that we've seen. However, it wasn't really discouraged. And again, there was phones allowed to film it. So I mean, be consistent, people.
But it's also why I don't, there is this, and this is totally, this single issue really runs, like, it's not a blue versus red issue. There's a lot of disagreement about should phones be allowed in school. Mm-hmm. Because in theory, I would say no, like you're there to learn, mm-hmm. but also how many stories have we broken about crazy stuff happening in schools because a child had a cell phone?
Well, and in this case, the victim, I mean, her mom wants her to have a cell phone in case something happens, she can call and she has some escape or somebody to call for help.
But so until schools get back to norm, I think that kids need to be equipped with something to document the nonsense that's happening. On the ID to shovel in New York City, but not to vote, Necro Two Shoes, the Democrats are good at shoveling you know what. On the commie account doxing cops, Dave Marcus says when he returned back to the United States, he should be arrested and sent to prison. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you're working as a propagandist for the Chinese Communist Party, is there something, I mean, if you come back in, you're like spying for them, but he's not in a position to spy and give them information. So you're a citizen, you can go live in a different country. And if you want to be a propagandist, I guess that's fine, but definitely shouldn't get tax breaks for your doxing cops website. Let me tell you right now, sir, that won't happen. I don't care. That will not happen. We will make sure that you are not able to accept tax-deductible donations. All right. Eric, a couple super chats here. Politicians need to be fined for not doing their jobs by attending the State of the Union. Lil Miss J, Brandy, Nicole, and Miranda, here's a bit of respect and support. Thanks again for bringing so many of these stories to the forefront. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Are welcome, and thank you. We'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, it is still February for a few more days. Is this one of those months where it's a... 28 days. Is it always 28 days? And then there's a leap year.
Leap year that's 29.
And then that's how many in that one?
29.
Right? Yeah, because I have a friend from, well, not even a friend, somebody I went to high school with was a leap year child, was a leap day, whatever. And so they're like 4 years old, you know, or whatever it is. So anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yes. February is Valentine Roofing Month. It's all about spreading the love. Get it? Valentine Roofing, February, Valentine's Day, spreading the love. See what they did there. So if you're a Valentine customer and you loved your new roof or siding, now is the time to share that level of care with your friends and family because they're expanding their customer referral program through the end of February. So if you refer friends or family for a new roof or siding, you'll earn your choice of a free maintenance service or you'll get a $250 gift card. So I think that's pretty cool. If you've already used Valentine, just refer a friend to cash in on that. And as you know, you can be confident when referring your loved ones because every Valentine Roofing customer receives the Valentine experience. Seamless communication, meticulous cleanup, extra mile service, even in the winter weather. And they have flexible financing options, so you can get payments as low as $159 a month and zero down. So I think that's pretty cool as well. So talk to your friends and family. Tell them to call 206 Roofing today. Again, call 206 Roofing and also tell them that you heard about them right here on Undivided. Okay, let's get to our closing sanity check. We beat the Canadians in hockey. The girls did too, which I think is pretty great. But what a game that was. I only caught some. Yes?
Oh, I was just going to say they're having a really hard time accepting that, those Canadians.
The Canadians are very upset. I saw a lot of good memes, though, about the defeat. It really made me feel good about us as Americans. And then I just thought it was so funny that, like, people are losing their mind that some of these hockey players appear to be Trump supporters. And it's like, have you ever, like, watched hockey, been involved in hockey? I mean, and I actually saw this poll that of all the sports types of athletes, like, hockey players tend to skew more conservative or whatever. But it just cracks me up that they can't, that you're going to think less of them as Olympic champions if they support Donald Trump. But anyway, President Trump, Kash Patel was in there during their celebration, and President Trump on speaker.
Congratulations. That was an unbelievable game. I don't know if one person that wasn't, everybody that called me said, I'm watching the hockey game. You know? I don't know if anybody that wasn't. And you're going to be proud of that game for 50 years as you grow older. I mean, it was amazing. So we love you guys. Congratulations. And I hope to see you, Cash, Tuesday night. And I want to shake hands. I'm going to shake hands with everybody. But I got to shake hands with that goalie.
We'll see you Tuesday night, Mr. President.
See you Tuesday night.
I love that. So we invited them to the State of the Union. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to make it in time, but I really hope that as much of the team is there as possible for the State of the Union. I think that'll be a cool moment. And
there's
leave
some
them alone.
Open seats for them.
Yeah, who cares if they like Trump? They were just insane. People have lost their minds. People who make hating Trump their whole personality trait. I'm genuinely worried for your mental health when he leaves office in 3 years. It's going to be very scary. Anyway, that has been our closing sanity check. Again, a reminder, our showtime might be in flux a little bit tomorrow, but we'll make sure to keep you updated. If you hear nothing from me, it's going to be noon as normal. The only time I'll check in with you is if it's going to be a little bit late, as I'm down in Olympia in the morning, which Nicole just found out that I'm going to Olympia in the morning. Sorry, I hadn't talked to you about that yet. Going to Olympia in the morning, you know?
Love it.
Got to be down there. Nothing like driving 2 hours. 6 a.m. Be fun. Anyway, thank you guys for supporting our show. Go read the guest op-ed that Kristen Magnuson posted this morning on Patreon Locals. There is no paywall, so you can share it, you can read it. And I think her story is really cool, and it just shows that, you know what, journalists aren't doing their job, and a lot of the times they don't have special experience anyway. So you can do just as much as they can to investigate where your taxpayer dollars are going. All right, we'll see you back here. In the meantime, if you'd like to become a paid subscriber, support our work, go to UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com, and I promise you that money is not going to dox ICE agents and to dox cops. That is not what we're using your money for. See you tomorrow, noon, or a little later than that.